Moment, please. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the RPM sub-team for Sunrise Data Review, taking place on the 22nd of May, 2019. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you're only on the telephone audio, could you please identify yourselves now? Hearing no one, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Julie Hedlund. Please.
Thank you very much, Terry. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. And very quickly, let me review the agenda. Item one is updates to statements of interest. Two is the review of the work plan and timeline. Three is the development of preliminary recommendations, including discussing the agreed preamble Sunrise Charter question in conjunction with Proposal 3, and discussing the agreed Sunrise Charter question 5B in conjunction with Proposals 1, 7, and 8. And item four is any other business. May I ask if anyone has any other business? Seeing no hands, back up to agenda item one. May I ask if anyone has any updates to statements of interest? Seeing no hands, moving to agenda item two, I will ask my colleague Ariel Liang to give us a brief update on the work plan and timeline. Thank you, Ariel.
Thanks, Julie. This is Ariel Liang for the record. So as you can see, we have four meetings left for Sunrise before ICANN 65, and that includes today's meeting. For today's meeting, the goal is to finish discussing all the agreed charter questions and the individual proposals. And then starting from the next meeting on 29th of May, the sub-team will start reviewing the staff draft of the proposed answers to the charter question and the preliminary recommendations. And we will circulate two documents to the sub-team. One is the summary table that we will update as usual. And then the other one is going to be called the status check document. And that document will organize all the proposed answers, preliminary recommendations, in a very clear manner. So we hope that document will be much easier for you to review because it will be much shorter and you can just focus on the text when you provide your comment. And so that will be three more meetings to discuss the draft text, and the sub-team probably have to move in a very aggressive, rapid speed because we do have a lot of questions to address and agree on the text. And then staff will update the summary table and the status check table again after the sub-team has discussed all these draft text. And the additional thing we want to mention is for the Sunrise sub-team, there are still some open discussion threads. And all the open ones will be extended to next Wednesday at the end of the day. And there will be two more discussion threads open today. One is for the preamble charter question. The other is for Q5B. And that will also be closed next Wednesday. So we want to keep the timeline consistent and so that the sub-team members can provide all your comments if you didn't have the opportunity to provide during the call to put on the discussion threads. That will be closed on next Wednesday. So that's all the points I want to raise that now. Julie, do you have any additional comment?
No, I have nothing else to add. That was very thorough. Thank you, Ariel. And then at this point, let me go ahead and go to the next agenda item. And as noted from last week's call, Greg did chair the call except for the last 30 minutes, and David chaired that portion of the call. Sometimes we do have an update from the person who chaired the previous call as to how that previous call went, and just a quick summary. Let me ask you, Greg, and apologies if I'm putting you on the spot, if you have anything you would like to say about last week's call. Otherwise, we'll go ahead to David McCauley and have him start the discussion with respect to the preamble question.
Thanks, Julie. This is Greg Shatton for the record. And just briefly about last week's call, we discussed question 8, which dealt with the ALP, QLP, et cetera, and basically hoped that Christine and Maxim might come up with some sort of a fact-finding exercise, or at least questions, because we felt like we were inadequately informed, and at that point didn't have a recommendation. And I see the question Christine just says in the chat, Maxim and I literally just circulated some language. So that seems to have be on track, so that is good. We also discussed, question 9 was brought up, but that discussion was then redirected to the mailing list. Question 10 was then discussed, dealing with the exploring the proof of use in relation to Sunrise. And you know, there's a discussion that took place there. And I don't believe we came to a conclusion, but we'll obviously try to. And then I stepped out, and I believe at that point discussion moved to transliterations and translations and IDNs and the like, which I believe is under question 12. Maybe that was not question 12, but in any case, that was discussed. And I think at least question 12 was teed up at the end of the last call and discussed briefly, which is a question of priorities between Sunrise and other things. With that, I'll turn it over to David. Hope that was more illuminating than befuddling. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Hi, everybody. It's David McCauley speaking for the record. That was illuminating. And during the short portion that I was acting as chair, we did talk about those. And we had a brief discussion about the potential for joining questions 8 and 12. But we saw some merit and some drawbacks and didn't reach a conclusion on that. And I also want to state, before we get into the preamble question, thank you, Ariel, for the timeline and noting the threads that are open until next week. And it's important to recall in the threads that the time to make entries into the threads is basically now, because that would give folks the benefit of your thinking and a chance to respond. And hopefully there won't be, in other words, don't hold your entry until very late. Give folks a chance to react. So having said all that, let's go and turn to the preamble question and proposal number 3, which is relating to it. And what I'll do is, what we've done in the past is read the preamble question quickly, and I'll note some portions of proposal number 3 and then open the floor. But the preamble question, as it says, is intended as a level setting series of questions, and there are 6 questions, and it begins as follows. 1A, is the Sunrise period serving its intended purpose? B, is it having unintended effects? C, is the trademark clearinghouse provider requiring appropriate forms of use? Parenthetical, if not, how can this be corrected? D, have abuses of Sunrise been documented by trademark owners? Sunrise period. E, have abuses of the Sunrise period been documented by registrants? And finally, have abuses of the Sunrise period been documented by registries and registrars? That is the preamble question. In conjunction with that, we have a proposal number 3 that George submitted. And in essence, he is saying in this proposal, if the Sunrise procedure is retained, a separate proposal calls for its elimination from George. Then the Uniregistry Sunrise registration anti-hijack provision shall be made standard for all future TLDs. And then he quotes what he's talking about per section 3 of that Uniregistry provision. And I'll go ahead and state them. Section of part one of that says, registered names obtained in accordance with the Sunrise registration process shall be solely registered to the qualified applicant thereof who is the owner of the trade or service mark registration on the basis of which Sunrise registration was allocated. Such registered names shall be restricted from transfer to any other registrant, et cetera, et cetera. And then the second section says, registered names obtained in accordance with the Sunrise registration shall not be maintained using a privacy or proxy registration service. And in his rationale, George said the proposal would reduce gaming of the Sunrise process. And so that, in essence, is teed up for discussion. And I'm opening the queue to see if anyone would like to make any comments, make any suggestions, proposals, et cetera. First hand up is Christine. Christine, you are the queue so far, so why don't you go ahead?
Hi, thanks. This is Christine Durain. So, you know what, if a registry operator wants to have, you know, some super restrictive transfer policy that, you know, is an offer, offers an added benefit to people, I think they should be allowed to do that. You know, we all have different business models. We cater to different target audiences, different clientele. That's great. I don't think there's any basis for which we should define to registries and registrars in the absence of a problem, right? Invoking the Jeff Newman rule, what's the problem we're trying to resolve here? I don't really understand what the problem is. I don't think we've been, anyone has raised an issue of trademark words being hijacked, you know, en masse from certain registrars or anything like that. So I don't understand why we would disrupt this. This adds a lot of technical complications to the way registries and registrars do business. And it adds a technical complication layer without adding any real benefit that I can see. But I don't propose that we forbid it. I mean, certainly registries can do this if they want to. Secondly, I will just point out that number two probably is I'm not a GDPR lawyer, but I'm going to go with number two is possibly not even allowed. Thanks.
Interesting. Thank you, Christine. Next in the queue is Kathy had her hand up. I think it's gone down.
No, it's still up. I just took it down when I unmuted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kathy. You have the floor.
Okay, great. Thanks. This is Kathy Kleiman. I'm going to agree with Christine that I'm not sure two is allowed under ICANN rules, which is the barring the use of proxy privacy. But I think what George is trying to get to is indeed trying to prevent gaming, and we have found gaming. But as always, David, I was kind of hoping we could look at the questions in general. I mean, just, you know, my personal view is that it's always good to see our own responses as a sub-team to the questions and then look at the proposals to see if they help inform or tweak or provide insight or information. So may I request that we defer consideration of this proposal until after a review of the preamble questions?
Well, that's a very fair point, Kathy. Thank you. I guess I delivered that poorly. I didn't mean to, by mentioning the proposal, create it as a limitation by any means. And so the proposal's on the floor and we can consider that, but I do think you have a good suggestion, and that is if anybody has a general reaction to the preamble question, which itself is very general and sort of sweeping as to what we're doing, those are certainly welcome and to help us inform answers to these questions. And so I think Kathy makes a very good point, and I would invite folks, please come in and help us answer these very important questions, not least of which is the Sunrise period serving its intended purpose. So having said that and agreeing conceptually with Kathy, put the proposal number three, you know, in the back of your minds for now. It's still on the floor, but so also is the preamble question generally. So Maxim, your hand is up next. Why don't you go ahead and take the floor?
Maxim Ozuba, for the record. Actually, I also would recommend not to go with this suggestion for multiple reasons. First of all, there is a thing called transfer policy, and it says, it doesn't say that you cannot prevent transfers. I'm not sure it's possible to prevent it. The only possibility is for some particular hypothetical TLD is to have special rules of eligibility. For example, some highly regulated TLD which has demand for the particular license for being doctor or pilot or something like that. Yes. And if you sell it to someone else who is not a doctor with this name, with this license, not eligible. And the 13, it will not work actually if we do not resort to attempts of regulating registrants. And I'm not sure we will be allowed to do that. Because, for example, simple situation where we're hypothetically talking about some name which costs a lot of money and just company sold with all the services they have. That's it. And without regulating registrants, you will not be able to prevent that. So I would not recommend to go in this. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. Christine, you're next. Why don't you go ahead, please?
Thank you. I may have jumped the gun. I apologize. I was starting to answer the is it meeting its intended purpose question because I thought Proposal 3 was done. So I will wait till we get there. Thanks.
No, you're welcome. Please. I think it would be good to address serving its intended purpose and the unintended effects question, that kind of thing. So please go ahead. We can actually mix the discussion. I think I delivered it or set it up in fairly poorly. I apologize for that. But both are welcome now. Maxim's comment just now is welcome, but so too would yours be on the overall question. So go ahead, please.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is Christine again, and I do not have the document open in front of me, so I don't recall yet if we have any draft language on this. But I would propose if we don't have draft language that we do actually in this case, we do have evidence that the Sunrise is serving its intended purpose. I think that we have pretty good consensus actually between multiple groups that it is. Notably, I think brand owners have said that they prefer Sunrise. They don't want to see it go away. They think it's working. I think registries have said, you know, if ICANN removed the requirement, they'd probably do something like Sunrise anyway. And in fact, Sunrise was basically copied from something that .biz did and other TLDs, I believe that .asia, .xyz, or .xxx, I'm sorry. I think a lot of registries were already implementing Sunrise periods. So I think it's something that registries already see and plan on using. Registrars are already integrated with it. So I think we actually have pretty good consensus that it's serving its intended effect. I think for those people who are on the last call, possibility of a parenthetical here that could it possibly be better in some ways, maybe we'll get there. But I think the answer to the questions to start with is yes. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. And I'm looking at the queue. Next is Greg Shatton. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Greg Shatton. And I'll avoid the temptation to go to Proposal 3 and continue the discussion started by Christine. And I, tend to agree that Sunrise, is serving its intended purpose. I recall .mobi as being another one. I think virtually all of the kind of second in generation and forward legacy GTLDs, most are all had a Sunrise. So this was a, borrowed from, current practice. And so I think that, we do have question B where we get to the unintended effect, but in terms of its intended purpose, which is as a rights protection mechanism, while it would be better in some ways to not have to make, purchases ahead of that are essentially in many cases defensive registrations, or in other cases you may not have made otherwise. That's hypothetical. The practical answer is that we instituted this RPM as a way of minimizing that concern, and I think it works. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. And next is Mitch. Please go ahead, Mitch. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mitch Stoltz here. I don't get a sense that we really do have consensus that the Sunrise is serving its intended purpose. I look particularly to a lot of evidence that's been submitted about abuses of the system, particularly the registration of common words, which are, in the broad sense, equally going to be sorts of users who may not hold a trademark or have been, you know, have made a priority of getting their trademark into the trademark clearinghouse, but should really have an equal shot at registering that name across, you know, all of the new GTLDs and potentially some of the legacy TLDs. There's, you know, that's to me a strong showing that giving priority to, you know, the person who managed to get the word "the" into the trademark clearinghouse is not what was intended, and is distorting, you know, the landscape of domain registrations. So I really don't think that it's serving its intended purpose. You know, and I don't, you know, given the evidence that that's on the record here, don't see internal consensus on that point either.
Thanks, Mitch. And we will also discuss this partially with proposal number 8 when we get to question 5B. But I take your point, and thank you. Next in the queue.
Oh, I'm sorry, David. Can I get in the queue as well? I'm on audio at this moment. It's Claudio, whenever
okay.
It comes up.
Yes, Claudio, thank you. The queue right now, Claudio, is Kathy, and then Maxim, and then you, and we'll do it that order. Kathy, why don't you go ahead, please?
Okay. Can you hear me, David?
Yes.
Okay. So I think in some ways we're jumping the gun, forgive me for saying it, because we haven't done 5B yet, and we're back in our preamble. So let's, and 5B, we have two proposals, not one, but two proposals, 1 and 8 individual proposals to actually eliminate the sunrise period. One of those proposals says, furthermore, sunrise represents an expansion of rights for trademark holders relative to their actual rights in trademark law. As such, sunrise should never have existed in the first place. You can guess who wrote that. I think we haven't looked at the data, so let's look at the data, and then I'm going to propose an approach. But according to the analysis group, which looked at this more closely than anyone, not in the survey, but in their initial report that they spent so much time and money on as requested by the GAC, going all the way back to our initial work. And I'm just reading off of our summary table. Sunrise period has served its intended purpose to some extent, and that's what Maxim put in the chat. Let me read the rest of the line, but with significant limitations due to hurdles such as pricing, certain registry practice, and lack of transliteration support. Continuing by analysis group, sunrise period has unintended effects, including negative impacts on registries and registrars, issues of operating sunrise and qualified launch programs and approved launch programs. There is abuse, again, analysis group, of the sunrise period by registries documented by trademark and brand owners. When we look at other types of data that we've collected, we find sunrise has served its intended purpose to some degree. It's always qualified. And under additional data, which you can see and that we've talked about many times, and as Mitch just talked about, there are anecdotes, but I would add it goes beyond that. There are journalistic reports repeatedly about sunrise period having an unintended chilling effect on legitimate registrants. So, here's my proposal. We will get through this question a lot faster, maybe if we do it after 5B, but also if we combine A and B together so that we don't have to. So is the sunrise period serving its intended purpose? Is it having unintended effects? If we put that all together, David, I think we might get to an answer more rapidly. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. Let me think about that for a minute and continue going through the queue. Next in the queue is Maxim. Maxim, why don't you take the floor, and then we'll have Claudio, and then I may come back. I'm going to raise my hand and come back and just talk about that. Thanks. Maxim, go ahead.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. There is a theme which actually prevents us from finding the solution here. It's impossible to distinguish a valid startup with few bright people having a business idea and some kind of prototype and trademark registered. to distinguish them from the party registered trademark solely for the registration of the names and resale. And most important, it's not possible to check which variety was it until the resale. And the name might not be resold for years. To say more, the current registration system in general is not designed to track what happens to the contents, I'd say, of what's behind the domain name after the registration, with the exclusion of highly regulated TLDs. And I must remind you that if we say that all TLDs have to be highly regulated, we are going to severely damage mass market. It will affect customers. Because if you add some additional kind of identification, verification to any mass market service, you just cut numbers significantly. And it will just affect customers. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. Claudio, you are now up. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. In answer, looking at this question, I think it almost requires understanding what the intended effect is of the sunrise period. And the way I would describe that would be that it is to provide an early opportunity to trademark owners to register a domain name before the domain is sold during general availability. So when you look at it from that perspective, I think in a very large percentage of cases, it is having that effect. There are opportunities granted to trademark owners to register their domain names before they're put out for general availability. I think that perhaps the one exception is, and I think Kathy mentioned this point, is if the domain name is being sold at a price point that is so high that it prevents the trademark owner from utilizing the sunrise period, then in that case, the intended effect might not come to fruition there. But in some of the other points that I think I heard Mitch mention, I think even George potentially in his proposals, I think they're going to a broader issue as to whether there are unintended consequences, or philosophically, someone might not even agree with the concept of the sunrise period. They just think that all names should be made available at the same time. I would put those sort of concerns in a separate bucket. They're broader than really what the question is asking. The question is merely asking, is it having the intended effect of why the policy was created? The policy was created to protect trademarks. If you were to survey trademark owners, and I'm sure we probably have data on this, the sunrise period is extremely valuable to trademark owners for that reason. So that's my view on it. I would like to, if Mitch has a response, I'd welcome it. But I, again, think that the concerns expressed there were a little bit broader than what this question is asking. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Claudio. It's David speaking again. I'm just going to make a comment or two here, then I'm going to go back to the queue, which is still forming the queue right now, being Michael, Karen Nicholas, and then Mitch. But the comment I'm going to make is Kathy asked us to sort of switch around the order. And what I'd like to do is sort of continue on with the agenda the way we have it structured. So I'm going to say sort of a soft note of that, Kathy. But I will mention to folks, you know, we're going to get to question 5B, and I'm not going to read it now. I'll simply summarize it by saying it's that question that deals with whether sunrise should remain mandatory or become optional. Keep those thoughts in mind, because obviously, as many of these questions are, they're related, and there's an interrelationship amongst a lot of these questions. And so when we get to 5B on today's call, that doesn't mean we can't circle back to this question. I mean, it's an open conversation. That's my thought on handling it right now. So having said that, I have two hands in the queue. Michael, why don't you go ahead, please?
Hi, thanks, Michael Karanikos, for the record. Claudio actually touched on something that I was gonna mention, which is that in trying to determine whether the sunrise period is serving its intended purpose, I think that there's disagreement within the group about what the intended purpose of Sunrise is. And I think that that's sort of a challenge to finding an answer here, you know, insofar as, you know, I think that from my perspective, the purpose of Sunrise is to ensure adequate protection and respect for legitimate trademark rights. But, you know, there are also arguments that the purpose of Sunrise is to expand the applicability of trademark rules and essentially to create new rights. Certainly that's been the effect of it. So fundamentally, you know, I think that it's problematic insofar as the impact of it would go beyond what I would consider to be the intended purpose. But I do think that that fundamental disagreement about what the Sunrise is for has colored a lot of these discussions and likely will continue to do so. And so I do want to flag that as, I think, coming to the heart of a lot of the disagreements that I'm hearing. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Mitch, I take it that I believe you were in the queue, and I'm wondering if you had the same problem that Kathy did, or, you know, with the hand, you know. Are you still in the queue, or should I go to Greg? Who's next?
Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Mitch. Okay, Greg, go ahead, please.
Thanks. Greg Shatton, for the record. I don't think anybody would say that Sunrise is perfect. You know, so whether we put some form of qualifier before it, both in terms of whether it could serve its purpose better or whether it has unintended effects, there's certainly, you know, room to discuss that. I don't think there is room for varying views on what the intended purpose of Sunrise was. So I don't think there's disagreement so much as there is confusion. You know, Sunrise is a rights protection mechanism which was intended to give trademark owners a right to purchase domain names, register domain names, to avoid cyber squatting of them, avoid UDRPs and URSs, and the like. You know, we can probably find some official statement about what Sunrise was intended. And kind of funny we're this far into the sub-team's work and don't have, you know, a mission statement level statement of what Sunrise is for, but, you know, hopefully we can dig one up. I don't think ultimately that should be much variation on what the intended purpose was. And I don't think anybody would say the intended purpose was to expand trademark rights or create new rights or the like. I mean, I guess some people would say it, but in terms of trying to factually state what the intent was in terms of the purpose. So, you know, I see Michael saying I'm describing the function. No, I'm talking about the purpose. The purpose was a rights protection mechanism to protect trademark rights what we've been calling, I think, rather than a curative basis, a proactive basis, you know, not unlike reserved names and other bases that are used other than dispute resolution mechanisms. That was what it was intended to offer. So as to, you know, some of the issues about, and I think that, you know, we do have the Trademark Clearinghouse, so that, you know, subject to discussions about any imperfections in the clearinghouse, you know, is our definition of what are legitimate trademark rights for purposes of this. So I think that's covered. And again, there may be tweaks here and there that we need to discuss, but if you look at kind of, I think, the mainstream of what's happening here, it does serve its intended purpose. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Next in the queue is Kathy. Go ahead, please.
Hi, David. It's Kathy. I figured out what was confusing to me. and why I thought we might need to go to 5B, but actually I think it's a part of 5B needs to come to us. And that's that proposals 1 and 8, which are currently classified under 5B, which call for, just to let you know, for elimination of the sunrise. Actually, I checked them out. Happily, I printed them out. David, they actually reference in Q7, which is what charter questions would you apply to, they actually both reference sunrise question preamble. So that's what was confusing to me, is why we weren't talking about these proposals to eliminate sunrise in this question. So I would like to make the proposal that we bring 1 and 8, which by their own terms want to talk to preamble as well as 5B, forward. Because the reason why is, if you want to eliminate sunrise, then those drafters of these two proposals on their face do not think sunrise is serving its intended purpose. You can agree or disagree with them, but that's what the essence of the proposals are. And these are detailed proposals that go on for a full 2 pages. So I'd like to request that they move in. I'd like to again go back to our data where our own summaries qualified is sunrise having its intended purpose. Not a single of our summaries said yes outright. They were all qualified. So I think we have to be qualified as well. And again, my idea that if we mix preamble question answers A and B, is it serving its intended purpose and is it having unintended effects, we can get to kind of a clearer answer that for some it's serving its intended purpose, but others see real problems and fudge the point, for lack of a better term, so that we can get on to actually trying to solve the abuses in D, E, and F, which we actually know have gotten there. We did something similar with trademark claims, the trademark claims notice for those who are in our former sub-team meetings. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Kathy. And on that point, I can't agree with you. I'm happy to bring forward proposals 1 and 8 into this discussion, and I'll do it by summarizing them after I first recognize Mitch. He was in the queue and I think can make his point before I make those summary statements about those two proposals. But I'm happy to do that part of it to keep this discussion going about the preamble question. So Mitch, why don't you go ahead now? You are the remaining hand in the queue.
Thank you. This is Mitch Stolten. I'll be brief. I'm actually kind of surprised to hear that the folks were operating under the assumption that the intended purpose of Sunrise was to inure to the benefit of one constituency, trademark holders, and not for the general good of the domain name system. If that's you know that's kind of baffling to me. I had thought, and I thought this was sort of you know inherent in the way this process was constituted, that the intended purpose is to strike a balance between the interests of various participants in the domain name system. So this may be moot if we are combining points A and B, which I agree with doing, but just want to register that. Appreciate that.
David, can I get in the queue to respond to what Mitch just said?
And this is Terry. While we're waiting for David to respond, if I could just remind everyone to mute when not speaking. It sounds, it seems we have some background noise.
Thanks, Terry. Claudio, go ahead quickly, please, and then we'll go. I'll make a point about the proposals, and then we'll go to Greg.
Yes, thank you, David. I'll be very brief. I understand what Mitch was just saying. Maybe some of the way I phrased or some of the other comments came in gave him the impression that it was primarily something just for trademark owners to secure their domain names and extract value from them. But in reality, the reason the RPMs were developed and the new GTLD program is being implemented and developed as the policy is because of the risk to users, to consumers, when registration abuse takes place. And the concern when you're exponentially expanding the domain name system, you're creating new opportunities for registration of use, where you could register the exact match of the domain when you couldn't do that in the legacy domains, which were a very small number, and trademark owners have their brands in many cases, the identical match of their brand is registered already. But when you expand the domain system, there's countless opportunities to register a domain that exactly matches the trademark, and then use that domain name for legal purposes, for purposes that stem from the registration of use. That was, so it's not something that's there just to prevent, to help trademark owners. It really was for the overall integrity of the domain name system, consumer trust, and in ensuring that the expansion was going to take place in a safe way. So that's where this policy sprung from. And I think as Greg and Christine mentioned earlier, there was a track history of registries using this policy to accomplish those goals. And so it then became applicable to all the new GTLDs. But it's really for that much broader purpose than just sort of one constituency benefiting from it. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudio. And before I go to the queue, let me go ahead and just mention proposals number one and number eight. And number one is from George Kirikos, and it basically, his suggestion here is that Sunrise, along with trademark claims, should be eliminated as mandatory policy for all subsequent new GTLDs. And his rationale is that the premise led the adoption of the RPMs and new GTLDs was the prediction that there'd be massive cyber squatting in new GTLDs, billions of dollars in costs for trademark owners due to an enormous number of new domain name registrations that were anticipated. But those predicted risks were incorrect and exaggerated. George went on to say, just as somebody would not buy a $500,000 security system to protect a painting worth $100, ICANN should not require mandatory RPMs that are disproportionate to the actual risks and whose benefits to a narrow group of stakeholders are outweighed by the costs, et cetera, on other stakeholders, et cetera. Furthermore, he said an expansion of rights for trademark holders relative to their actual rights in trademark law. The other proposal, number eight, was one that Mitch submitted to the group, Mitch Stoltz. And so, Mitch, I will certainly give you the floor if you want to summarize this for the group, and or I'd be happy to if you would prefer me to do it.
Please go ahead. Thank you, David.
Okay, thanks. Mitch's proposal number eight is similar, basically the same thing. It's a proposal to eliminate Sunrise registration period as mandatory policy, excuse me, for new GTLDs. The rationale is under domestic law, anyone may use a word or phrase for non-commercial purposes, notwithstanding that the word or phrase may also be a trademark. Sunrise registration, however, allows rights holders whose marks are in the trademark clearinghouse to preclude the use of words or phrases as domain names in the new GTLDs by other uses for non-trademark purposes. The overreach is compounded by one, the inclusion of design marks in the TMCH, two, the inclusion of generic terms such as the, hotel, luxury, smart, one, love, and flower, effectively allowing a rights holder to lock up domains unrelated to any good or service they sell, and three, the secrecy of the TMCH. Elimination of Sunrise requirements is the simplest way to address these problems, the proposal goes on. And so those two proposals do relate, as Kathy indicated, to the preamble questions in a manner. And so back to the queue. Maxim, your hand was next, so why don't you go ahead, please?
Maxim, also for the record, I would just like to add some clarity. The current version of RPMs was not a multi-stakeholder-based policy. It was a decision made based on so-called Stroman solution. So just for clarity. So we're talking about the implementation, not about RPMs as policy. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. Kathy's hand is up. Kathy, go ahead, please.
Can I get in the queue, David? It's Claudia.
Yes, you're after Kathy right now. Thank you.
And sorry, David, it's an old hand. I'll take it down.
Oh, okay. Well, Claudio, then you are the queue right now.
Okay. And we're discussing the two proposals that you summarized, correct?
Okay.
Yes, they relate to both preamble and to 5B.
Okay. So just to quickly comment on what Maxim just said, there was a straw man solution presented at the 11th hour after the number of applications were revealed, because we were kind of operating in the dark and we didn't know how many new GTLDs there were going to be. The expectation was around 500. There ended up being more than triple that amount of applications. And that's where the straw man came into play. He's correct in terms of the way things developed did take place during implementation for a large part. But there was a recommendation in the new GTLD policy that stated that the rights of third parties would be protected in the new GTLD program. And then it was left really for implementation in terms of how that policy was going to be put into place. So there's a long history there with the applicant guidebook and how that all happened during the implementation period. But its root was in a multi-stakeholder policy development process originally, as far as from my perspective, at least. But to talk about proposals, you know, when you were reading out some of the things that George put in there, he has a certain perspective on it. From my view, it's actually the exact opposite of what some of those points said. The level of cyber squatting, I'm not sure if the sub-team or the working group has hard numbers on this, but we've looked at it within the IPC. And when you look at least the number of cases that have been brought for UDRPs, they are at a higher level percentage-wise when you compare the number of domain registrations in legacy and new GTLDs. There are a higher percentage of UDRP complaints brought in the new GTLDs. So in fact, the level of cyber squatting is actually higher from that perspective. Of course, you would have to do a study looking at all domain names and how they're used, which might come up with a different result. But if you're just focusing on the number of UDRP policies, it reflects that there is in fact a higher level of registration abuse in the new GTLDs. And George, I think, was stating the exact opposite, that these concerns did not come to fruition, and therefore the Sunrise policy is not needed. So that's where my views counter or different from what George has put in his proposal. I didn't look exactly at what Mitch wrote. I could do that, but I just wanted to get this out there for now. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Claudio. I now have Mitch in the queue. Go ahead, Mitch, please.
Thank you. What I'm seeing, what I'm hearing in the call, and what I'm seeing on the chat, are is really a difference in how members of this working group are what value, what cost they are assigning to harms. Where they appear on the record are the anecdotes that appear on the record, and to continue the use of the one that we've been using in the chat just here, mini.tattoo. Question is, which is more harmful if you replicate this at scale? Is it that a tattoo artist, maybe even an amateur, non-commercial tattoo artist, or a club of tattoo artists, what have you, is unable to register mini.tattoo because they don't have a trademark, they couldn't participate in the trademark clearinghouse? Or is it more harmful, writ large, that BMW has to have an equal shot at registering mini.tattoo with the general public during general availability? I think the question, I'm not even sure the data answers here. It's sort of a question of fundamental values. Since I've made this proposal, it's my position that the cost of the loss of opportunity for non-commercial registrants, or even for smaller commercial registrants who are less sophisticated and may not be able to practically speaking to participate in the trademark clearinghouse, is greater than the harm that comes from having to for major brands like BMW and so on, and I think like the sort of the brands that have, you know, elite trademark counsel, you know, on retainer, is less. I think the harm to them is less of simply, and remember very specifically what we're talking about here. It's not that they go unprotected. It's, you know, they have the same opportunity as everyone else to register their domain names, and they have UDRP available. And that's the fallback here. It isn't a lack of protection. It's a fallback to the UDRP, which, you know, I think it's not a subject of this working group, but, you know, no, but it is the baseline of protection here. So that's why I think it makes sense to make Sunrise optional. That is, to eliminate it as a mandatory requirement on new GTLDs. I also like to point out, although this is less applicable to Sunrise, is that we are not actually talking about policies that will only apply to new GTLDs going forward. Because as I understand it, all of the rights protection mechanisms are one by one being imposed on the legacy GTLDs. So it actually seems a little bit disingenuous to me to say that we are only talking about the new GTLDs. Now, obviously, Sunrise only applies to GTLDs that are just coming online, but I have heard, happy to be proven wrong on this, that it's been proposed that there be some sort of Sunrise opportunities for existing GTLDs as well. So I think we need to keep this in mind. It appears that ICANN staff is one by one imposing all of the decisions that we make here on the entirety of the new of the GTLD space, not just on the new ones. That's the stakes involved here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. And before I go to Christine, you have introduced a subsidiary question for us all to ponder, and that is, what does one call a group of tattoo artists? I'm suggesting the word tattle, along the lines of gaggle, but that a lame attempt at humor. Sorry about that. Christine, you're next in the queue. Why don't you go ahead?
Oh my gosh, this is Christine. You cracked me up, David. That's hilarious. A couple of things. I'll address Mitch's last point. I think that the whole idea of Sunrise will be provided retroactively is a red herring, as you called out. Almost all TLDs are launched. Sunrise is only the first 60 days after launch. You could make that as retroactive as you want, but unless you fundamentally change what it is, and I don't think we have any support for that, ultimately the period's ended for almost all TLDs. There's some brands, there's some generics that are still out there, but provided they launch before we finish, it won't be an issue. I want to draw our attention, and I keep bringing this back up, to the balance that was struck. Nobody created Sunrise in a vacuum, right? Sunrise was created as part of a group of rights. Brand owners were protesting vehemently against new GTLDs at all. They were like, .leave.com, .nav.org, we don't need new GTLDs, we're fine. So the board went and said, well, you know, if we allow you to create some ways to protect yourselves, then will you be okay with this going forward? So that was the whole reason why we went forward, is because, you know, the brand owners were like, no, this is costing us $1 billion as it is. How can we make it not cost a bazillion times however many new TLDs are coming out? And so that's where this came from. They took something that was already out there. There's absolutely zero rationale for saying that people wouldn't do this anyway. And quite frankly, if you're a TLD right now and you remove the Sunrise requirement, you know, in order to just let anybody in, I can't imagine how that would be well received anyway, but be that as it may. I think that we have to understand that this was already a balance. The purpose of Sunrise was a counterweight to something else. If you remove Sunrise completely, you remove the counterweight. You cost brand owners hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars in protections to say, well, you just queue up with all the cyber squatters, you're good. And yeah, you know what? There's a couple people that want to register .love or whatever, love.something or mini.tattoo. You know what? It doesn't cost them a dime not to register mini.tattoo. They can choose any other TLD. They can choose any other name. The dictionary is full of thousands of words. We're not talking random strings here. We're talking words. We're talking even short words. We're talking even really short words that can be registered. Nobody is severely prejudiced economically or in other ways because they can't get mini dot tattoo. The only but people that are economically or other prejudiced against that is potentially Mini Cooper or BMW because they have economic interest already. So I think we have to be really careful about the balance here and go back to the fact that the Sunrise balanced the fact that brand owners were already paying out of the, you know, paying a high price for TLDs. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. Before I go to Kathy, who's next in the queue, I want to do a time check. We have 30 minutes left, 5 or 6 of which we'll need for admin and AOB at the end. And I do want to bring question 5B into this. So after Kathy, I'm going to go ahead and do that and mention Scott Harlan's proposal. So Kathy, why don't you go ahead now? You have the floor.
Wait, so David, quick question. If we're jumping to 5B, what does that mean about the timing of our continued consideration of the preamble?
I'm going to jump to 5B after you comment. And I see the two as related. I think it's a free-flowing discussion, as we've discussed, but I did want to segment. That's why I said a soft no to your original suggestion. But now we brought the...
Okay.
So that's my plan. I would like you to comment, then I'm going to go ahead and mention what 5B is. And remember, too, there's always the threads. There's going to be threads open on this, and the threads are important. And it's important, I think, and when we have spirited discussions like we have here and did the last, I think, 2 weeks, use the threads. Everybody should be looking at the threads. They'll come across your desk in the email, and there's going to be some good thoughts in there. So thanks. Kathy, why don't you go ahead?
Sure. But I'd like to request that we come back and actually go through the preamble question, not just in the threads, because I think this is really important. I think it's a good discussion, although I do think we've gone into the philosophical. So first, returning to the process that was created, the IRT was created by the, for lots of the reasons that have been expressed here, was created by the board to ask what intellectual property owners wanted when they returned to the meeting in Sydney, Australia, with what they wanted. There were parts of it that were somewhat acceptable and parts of it that raised enormous concerns. I can only give you a visual image of many, many people at the queue in the public forum, including Robin Gross and Cheryl Langdon, or reading resolutions, the first joint resolution ever by ALAC and the non-commercial users constituency. So, and then it went back to the GNSO Council, chaired by Chuck Gomes, and that's when the STI was created to come up with kind of a version based on the ideas of the intellectual property constituency through the IRT that was supported by everyone in the community, in the GNSO at the time who was involved in it. So that's where this comes from. So it was a community process, and we are asking a legitimate question. You know, is it serving its intended purpose? And again, I think our data gives us the answer, a yes, but. But in terms of, Christine, you really got me, that there's no disadvantage to a mini tattoo parlor. Let's say I specialize in mini tattoos, to not have mini dot tattoo. And I'll just share, if we apply that philosophy to the U.S. Trademark Office, it wouldn't matter how many trademarks people didn't get. It would just matter that some got some. It's really, really important that words be available to everyone who needs them for both commercial and non-commercial purposes. That seems to be a key foundation of every trademark law I've ever reviewed, and it is a fundamental balance that we created in this process in 2009. So I don't want to dismiss what trademark owners need. I don't want to dismiss what future businesses and entrepreneurs need who are now newly naming their companies and products and services, or will name them in 25 years. And I don't want to dismiss what non-commercial people need. It's that balance. So I'll go back. I'll agree with you, Christine, on the balance, but also that there is harm if someone doesn't get what they deserve, if someone else gets too much. Thanks.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Kathy. So I'm going to wrap question 5B into the discussion now. I'll read it briefly and then mention proposal number 7. Question 5B states, in light of the evidence that's been gathered, should the sunrise period continue to be mandatory or become optional. Sub-question one, should the working group consider returning to the original recommendation from the IRT and SEI of sunrise period or trademark claims in light of other concerns, including freedom of expression and fair use? And sub-question two, in considering mandatory versus optional, should registry operators be allowed to choose between sunrise and claims, that is, make one of them mandatory? And then Scott Harlan's proposal number seven, which also relates to the preamble question in a manner, is he's been making an operational fix recommendation. And the recommendation is that a 90-day notice period be required ahead of Sunrise launch, where information necessary for Sunrise participants to make registration decisions is specified and easily accessible. This would include things like registration eligibility, pricing, and reserve name status. The notice requirement would then be reset for any names released from a reserve name list. And his rationale says one of the major factors that made Sunrise procedure ineffective was the imperfect and untimely information that registry operators provided to registrars and potential Sunrise applicants. This was exacerbated by the frequent and overlapping Sunrise launches. So that's on the floor now for comment. And Kathy's point about going back to the preamble question through those questions is certainly on the floor still too. So I'm inviting comment on those, on all of what we've been talking about. Don't have anyone in the queue right now. And so it's probably an opportunity. Claudia, if that's you, I will recognize. I'm sorry?
Yeah, no, if you wanted to move ahead to something else, it's fine.
No, I don't. I'm going to come to you in just one second. I was just going to re-mention threads, especially in light of the timing. You know, we're getting close to the end. The threads are becoming more and more important. But Claudio, why don't you go ahead, and then I'll go to Maxim.
Yeah, and it's just a really brief point. If we're still talking about the charter questions, listening to the concerns of Mitch and Kathy, I do understand where they're coming from. I'm not sure if it helps to, I doubt it will sway anyone's mind, but trademark owners generally do not want to register domain names during Sunrise. And I feel that somewhat of the tenor of the comments have been, this is something that they're gaining from doing. And there's a trade-off where the trademark owners are benefiting and the non-commercial registrants are losing out on the ability to use the names. But if you look at it from the perspective that, and that Christine touched upon this, that the general view at the time from the trademark community was that they didn't even want new GTLDs to come out, let alone Sunrise registrations. So this it might look to some like a power grab or a land grab in a certain way, but in being involved at INTA and within the IPC, this was really something that was produced to stem the harm that could take place. And yes, the brand gets affected, the brand value, and all those things, but it's also to the consumers who are harmed from the registration abuse, which doesn't always have a direct corollary to consumer harm, but in many cases it does, because in many cases there is a website and there's a scheme that's taking place that relies upon the consumer trust of the trademark, and then they're able to exploit that trust and consumers end up getting harmed in a wide variety of ways. It could be counterfeit products, it could be a whole list of issues, phishing and things like that. So I just wanted to provide that perspective. I'm not sure if it's helpful to Kathy or Mitch at all, but that's really sort of the framework I think that we should be looking at some of these questions from. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudio. Maxim, you're next. Why don't you go ahead, please?
Maxim Mozoba, for the record. Actually, talking about additional 90-day period, we shouldn't forget that registers are not existing in vacuum. They have to pay considerable bills, and effectively doing no business for additional few months is bleeding money, and someone has to pay for that. And it will lead just to high prices for every domain, all TLD offers. And it doesn't look like care of customers. And the second thing is about aligning of periods between different TLDs. I'm not sure we're going to stop all businesses to measure it by the last one, because if we did it last time, no TLD would be launched, because the latest TLDs are still in the process. So we have to take reasonable view of what happens if we implement that. Thanks. I would object to this suggestion. Thanks.
Excuse me. Thank you, Maxim. And so there's no other hands in the queue right now. So I'm just going to mention, I'm almost losing my Zoom here. Bear with me just 1 second. So, okay, here we go. Sorry about that. But the importance of the summary table that the staff have very well put together and updated every week. And the subtable has not only the questions, as Kathy was asking, that we go back to the preamble questions, but it also has what she was talking about, the analysis group survey results with a link and summaries. These are very valuable. So when you go to the threads, keep that summary table at hand. The summary table and the what we're calling the check document. I'm struggling for the status check document. It will be the operative documents over the next 3 weeks as we try and bring this effort home. So keep those at hand and keep them at the ready. We're entering a new phase after this call. I don't see any further hands in the queue, and so we've gone through what we had on the agenda today. So my question is I'll give it back to Julie and the staff in just a moment, but I do see a hand up. Kathy, I'll come in just a minute. But if you have anything further to say on these topics, please get ready to jump in the queue and go ahead and do it. Kathy, go ahead, please. Kathy, if you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Good point. Okay. This is Kathy. Thanks, David. I was talking, but you didn't hear me. So is now a good time to talk about the 5B questions themselves, in addition to the 5B proposals, which we've now covered, the three of them, and dive into some of the data on 5B and talk about the questions of 5B, since we've got about 15 minutes left.
It is.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, so 5B is, should Sunrise be mandatory or optional? If we go and look in our data, it says, as I think we'd expect, and now I'm reading the analysis group survey results, trademark and brand owner respondents think the Sunrise period should continue to be mandatory. And this is the next phase. There seems to be a need for the working group to consider returning to the original recommendation from the IRT and the STI long before the straw man that Maxim is talking about, which was a problem. So to returning to the original recommendation from the IRT and the STI, as there were concerns with the implementation of the ALP and the QLP, particularly as relevant to the GOTLDs. Registry, and then a third data point, data summary point in our table. Registry operator respondents prefer Sunrise and claims to be optional, with a slight preference for Sunrise to be mandatory and claims to be optional. But we do have, and we can go into some of the concerns that we've talked about. If Christine wants me to go into some of the gaming, which there's a lot of data, data points in this in this one. It's one of the reasons I was waiting, Christine, because I confused preamble and 5B. But third column here in 5B under additional data submitted, there are many, many stories of journalists, reporters, and bloggers who found some real gaming going on, where someone who's not a trademark owner of a famous mark registered an ordinary word and then really, in anyone's sense of the use, really abused it. So pizza, money, shopping. are some of the examples. I think Mitch gave some other examples below because the analysis group found some as well. So David, I really would love to have a discussion of should Sunrise be mandatory or become optional, and what some of the costs would be to become optional, to let the registries choose whether to use it, which would indeed go back to the old days as well, that registries choose whether they need this or not. Thank you.
Very well teed up, Kathy. Thank you. And Mitch has got a hand up. So Mitch, why don't you go ahead, please?
Thank you. Mitch Stoltz here. I've heard earlier in the call, folks have said that, that Sunrise, you know, was adopted, you know, before it was a formal process by various GTLDs. If that's the case, it suggests that if Sunrise were to be made optional for new GTLDs, that some of them would continue to opt to do it or something similar, and others would not. I think that's something interesting. That'd be interesting to discuss because it makes the problem space somewhat smaller if we're talking about some subset of new GTLDs going forward. What that would look like, how that would distinguish, you know, GTLDs, you know, as commercial ventures, those that are sort of oriented towards brand protection, and those that have other priorities. The long-winded way of seconding Kathy's last question there, and say, you know, that's I think good to focus on.
Thank you, Mitch. Christine, you're next. Please go ahead.
And can I get in the queue, David? Claudia's here.
Absolutely. You'll be right after Christine.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. This is Christine. I'm not going to belabor the point about sort of leaving this up to registries and registrars because there's already a lot of pushback in the GAC and other areas at the fact that some registries and registrars are quote unquote better and worse about stifling forms of DNS abuse. So how different registries would allow, endorse, permit, or not forms of abuse other than DNS abuses, it would definitely, I think, rain down fire and brimstone from the GAC. But leaving that aside, the reason why the Sunrise came out of the STI and the IRT was because as some of those, as I don't remember who did it, I think Greg mentioned it, like the sort of second wave of domain names came about, was starting with .biz, .mobi, and all the rest of those TLDs. What became apparent is that every single registry operator did it differently, and it was very fragmented. And so every single time a brand owner wanted to apply for a new GTLD, a different one, I shouldn't say new GTLD, that's confusing, a different TLD, a domain name and a different TLD, they had to first submit an expensive application fee so their mark could be validated. And then they had to go through this process of whatever that registry thought was relevant. So they might have said you have to have a mark somewhere. They might have said you have to have a mark in this jurisdiction, or it had to have been gone through this process. Every single registry did it differently. In fact, down to the point of was it paper, was it electronic, how many staples were in the application, it was ridiculous, and it was costing IP owners a ton of money to do this. So what they were trying to do is make a very uniform, very cut and dried system, so that's why you have exact matches. That's why you have, and if you want TM plus 50, you send your UDRP decision in. There's no guesswork. Nobody's guessing, does this mark qualify? Does that mark qualify? It's designed to be as black and white as possible. Are there jerks that are abusing it? Probably. There are jerks that abuse every single rule and law and statute out there. That's what jerks do. But that doesn't mean that the process is bad. It just means that there's some jerks. But the end problem doesn't go away. If you completely remove the uniformity aspect of this and say to each their own, you now have potentially, you know, 1,300, that was the last application, you know, said, different Sunrises, types of Sunrises that brand owners now have to jump through. It's not effective. It's not gonna make the process smoother or helpful in any way, and it's gonna put us back into the dark ages. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. And next in the queue, and this is the end of the queue right now is Claudio. So Claudio, go ahead, please.
Thank you, David. I agree with Christine is what I'm trying to say, and found her comments very entertaining and on point. But I wanted to answer a question that Kathy raised about the IRT recommending one or the other. And I could see how if one were to look at that IRT report, one could come to the conclusion that Kathy did, which was to the IRT, it was an option that they could pick one or the other. I was on the IRT, and and this happens in all cases when committees are formed developing policy, is that there's a broader political reality surrounding the work that is produced. And at that time, the broader reality was that when the first applicant guidebook got published, there were almost no protections at all. And so there was a big concern that if the IRT went too far, and the IRT really tried not to do that, even though the perception of it, which Kathy also mentioned, might have been different. But the IRT really tried to stay within its lanes because there was a very big concern that the recommendations were not going to be approved. And so they really kind of scaled things down as much as possible while still trying to protect the trademarks without really knowing how many applications were going to be received. So that's kind of how that all came about. I agree with Christine's perspective on the dangers of making it voluntary. I think that's it. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Claudio. And there is a hand in the queue. Kathy, go ahead, please. And we're not hearing again.
I keep taking down my hand instead of unmuting. Thanks, David. So I'll learn the system eventually, I promise. So Claudia, that was fascinating. I forgot that you were on the IRT. This background's very, very helpful. You know, you were on the IRT, I was on the STI. So as I think Christine mentioned, the OR was a recommendation of the IRT, it sounds like, because again, I wasn't there and of the STI. But going back to what Christine said, I think, and I apologize if I'm wrong, that there had been a use of this process before, that individual generic top-level domains had kind of created their own databases of trademarks and then allowed those, that pre-registration and a sunrise process. I think Neustar was the first to do this, but I'm not sure. So what we're dealing with now is the first time this has all been centralized. And this was really where you have one, the efficiency aspect that's been mentioned on this call, that one trademark clearinghouse for all trademarks applicable across all GTLDs. This has never happened before. It was very, very isolated and individualized. I believe for .biz, for .info, but someone can check me. So now is the first time anyone's been reviewing some of the gaming going on, that ability to use a trademark for Christmas or for cloud or for pen or for the and have it registered in one category of goods and services, certainly not globally famous, in fact famous in its generic sense, and then used or misused as the bloggers and reporters and journalists have shown us. We're looking at a new category of problems, this globalization, this centralization, this use across of trademarks far outside their categories of goods and services. Michael has a proposal in on this. We've got other types of corrections throughout their number of proposals that have been submitted to try to correct where we've all seen this has maybe not gone off the rails entirely, but gone off the rails in some cases. There are harms, there are unintended consequences. What do we do with those? And one way to solve it is to make and into an or, and let and have the sunrise or the trademark claims but other ways have been suggested as well. But let's keep the big picture in mind. We are the first ever to look at the centralization of the trademark clearinghouse and to look at trademarks in certain categories of goods and services. And we now know they will be used to register in other categories of goods and services by bad actors. What do we do about that? And 5B is just one solution. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Good questions to lead us into the threads in the coming week. So we're going to go to staff in just a moment. There's no one else in the queue. I want to thank everybody for a spirited discussion. We are down a few folks, probably because of the INTA meeting this week, but it's a very good discussion, and I'm grateful. Now, I just heard something. Claudio, was that you? Did you want to get in the queue or something?
No, that wasn't me. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, though.
Okay, well then, Julie, I'm going to turn it over to you for AOB.
Thanks so much, David. This is Julie Hedlund from staff, and we didn't have any AOB today, so what that means is that we can just welcome you all back.
Kathy, I have a hand up. I mean, Julie, it's Greg, I have a hand up.
Thank you, Greg. Please go ahead.
Sorry. Not really AOB, but maybe it's kind of tee up some of the discussion for next week and some of the thoughts. For next week, I think it would be helpful to think, I think there's a broad concern about bad actors and pretextual trademarks and other such things before we get to points of disagreement. And I think it would be useful to think about, maybe to look at the proposals that are aimed at trying more surgically to deal with gaming. As we can commonly agree it exists. Again, I think there are broader definitions and narrower definitions. But somebody who gets pencils printed up that have the word "the" on them and decides it, and somehow makes, sells, five dozen of them and can then get "the" in every dome, in every new TLD. I don't think that's I don't think we have a lot of disagreement that that's something that if we can get control of it, we should. I think where the issue, starts to slip away is in the scope of what might be considered gaming or abuse or excessive rights. The issue of kind of, I saw somebody talk about, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, in terms of trying to find, some mechanisms, and maybe it's, improving the SDRP, where we can look to try to deal with gaming. And if the gaming's in the TMCH itself, maybe solutions relating to TMCH challenges or the like. It seems like, some of the fairly elimination of the Sunrise stops abuse of the Sunrise. It also stops the intended purpose of the Sunrise and everything else. So that makes it a rather draconian solution. I think, while I'm not saying we should discuss whatever we need to discuss, but I just think we might actually come up with something useful and that could get broad, or what's the word we're using? Wide support. If we try to focus our laser beam a little bit. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Greg. I didn't know if you wanted to reply to that at all, David, but I don't see any other hands in the queue. So it looks like we have 2 minutes before the bottom of the half hour, and I'm going to go ahead and thank David for sharing today's call, and thank everyone for joining, and we will welcome you back next week at this time to further our discussions. Thanks so much. And this meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, all.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.